This morning, I would like to share with you some thoughts that actually were inspired as I read books or parts of books. I'm inspired by certain thoughts or even certain words, and those then become the guiding, let's say, drive that takes me through the sermon. So for this morning, I was reading something by Eugene Peterson, and the idea came from there. So the title of the sermon, as you have seen it in the front, is The Holy Stump. The Holy Stump. I was actually debating with myself to put that in the front or not, because it doesn't, apart from the word holy, doesn't seem to be a religious title, but that word there makes it to a certain point religious. So we'll see what we have with it. Also, just in part of the introduction, it was interesting to hear the readings this morning, and especially what Rita read from Isaiah, because I'm sort of using a verse or two from Isaiah. And chapter 2, was it verse 1, started with, "This is what Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw." And see, as I said, certain words, you know, kick in, and this one kicked in, and I was thinking, what does it mean that Isaiah saw? What did he saw? Because usually we think about prophets hearing, you know, and we hear different prophets saying, "The Lord told me." But here we read that Isaiah saw. And I just shortly and quickly looked a little bit, and actually the whole book, it's about exactly that. If you read verse 1 in chapter 1, the way the book of Isaiah starts, it starts like, the visions that Isaiah, the son of saw. So the book, it's about what he saw. And we then ask, it's only seeing, but also hearing, because we have a whole book about what he saw. And we have to take it as referring to that prophetic sight, that God opens a vision for the prophet, and the prophet sees something and writes it down. But that's the introduction. Allow me to pray for a word that will come, and also give thanks for the offering that have been presented and all the worship so far. So I say, Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us and empowering us and guiding us, Holy Spirit, so that we present a worship before you that's wholehearted, that's genuine, not an act. And we pray that even if there might be such a case, Holy Spirit, do the work of cleansing and preparing the things that we presented before the Father. And we pray that indeed our worship might be of that sort. We give you thanks for the offering, these resources that you are blessing us with. And we are, yes, again, grateful for the way you are blessing us and the whole world, that is, for at least a part of it, mostly the Western part of it. So we pray that the riches that are out there might be equally distributed or according to people's needs, which is quite a dream, is it? But we pray that that might happen, and we know that the day when you will renew the things, that will be the case. And no more aggression, no more violence. We give thanks for this morning and pray that through the word you might guide our thoughts and inspire us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The passage, the verse that I'm going to read, two verses, or let's read a bit more, 5 plus 1. I'm going to read 5 plus 1 verses from Isaiah chapter 11. And we read this: "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge but what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist." And then the verse Where is it? Yeah, I think I'm going to stop here. I thought I had another verse, but not there. Let's stop here. This will help us. I may have already an idea of what this is going to be. The shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Isaiah, the prophet, from what I recall reading somewhere, don't remember where, has been called or has been considered the evangelist of the Old Testament. So among the prophets that wrote and whose writings are in the Old Testament, Isaiah's words contain the most of what can be termed as good news. So that's the reason why he's looked at as the evangelist of the Old Testament. More than any other prophet, he was in the business of the good news. And the passage today is an example of that. The prophets of ancient Israel looked forward for the day. All of them have been given visions about some day in the future that things will happen. Things will happen despite of what was the current situation. So the prophets of Israel looked forward for a day when the promise, which was made quite early in the Garden of Eden, the promise would be fulfilled in an ultimate descendant of David. Royal lineage will appear on the scene, will appear to be the ruler of Israel and do good to that nation. So they were looking for it. And let me quote from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, that's Jeremiah. So not only Isaiah, but Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which we will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. We've got different names, and being in a part of the church for quite a while, we almost know, or at least are familiar with, the plethora of names that we can ascribe to God. No need to remind us of some of them. So the main thought for today, given this passage and the way that the Spirit led me, is this. Don't stumble upon the stumps. Keep your eyes on the holy stump. Okay? Don't stumble upon the stumps. Keep your eyes on the holy stump. What stumps? Well, I mean the real physical stumps, because what Isaiah saw, apart from his prophetic vision, he also had physical eyes and he could see what was around him. And what was around him was stumps, lots of them. Do I pronounce that right? Stumps? Good. So we don't think about stamps. Okay. We don't see many stumps around us today, mainly because we don't know what a real war is. We don't know what the effects of a real war is, and I mean we here in the Western society, and what effects the war can have on people, but also on the environment, on the nature. We only see and are accustomed with pictures or movies about war, and usually those wars are fought elsewhere, not on our land, not where we live. And again, I'm talking about the Western society here. But Isaiah saw it coming. Not quite sure if he lived through it. Jeremiah definitely did. But he saw it coming. And given that God gave him a vision, and usually visions are quite clear, he saw what was coming. God told him and allowed him to see what was coming. He lived and preached during the reign of three kings. So he saw three kings coming and going. Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And during this time, He called for repentance, as usually prophets do. That's also one of the main sermons that they preach. They call people back to God. Why? Because usually the tendency is that people stray away. They go away. So the prophets have this also function to call them back to God. So he preached during these three reigns. He preached also the good news, because among the things that he had to say was, well, it's a little bit, there are some things that might bring you hope and should bring you hope. But on the prophetic horizon, let's call it the prophetic horizon, the things that only a prophet sees, he saw the disaster and he wrote about it because, again, God revealed that to him. And in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 7, we read, therefore, the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty flood waters of the river. And here the river is with a capital R, which means it refers not to a river, but to a person that it's compared to a river. And that's the king of Assyria, the king of Assyria with all his pomp. It will overflow all its channels. So it's going to be a mighty invasion. The king of Assyria with armies will invade the country. Where are we? Run over all its banks. So that's going to happen. And Isaiah saw it because God revealed that to him. And all this will take place because at one point he asked, for how long? And the Lord replied and said, until the cities lie ruined. That's chapter 6, verse 11. Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged. And this is what a war does to cities, to people, to the environment. And in those times, when a war happened and the army came, one of the things that went very quickly was the timber, the trees that were cut down. Because the army needed them for all different things that the army used the trees for and used them at the time. These days, not so much. And then that's what happened. The whole country will look like, verse 13 on chapter 6, the whole country will look like the terebinth and oak leaf stumps when they are cut down. So the whole country, all you could see, the majority of the things that you could see on the land was the trees chopped, only the stumps. See, so Isaiah saw these things and he lived almost, as I said, I have to correct that if it's not correct. So he saw this desolation, this destruction when just the stumps were there. No hope. A disaster. That's the context of the good news. Because by now we know that every good news needs to have a context. And usually the good news come into a bad situation, into a hardship situation, into something that we don't want to be there, and we need some good news, or in a danger, in a situation of danger. That's the context of the good news in Isaiah's time, a country desolated, ruined, cities, inhabitants, everything, trees. Stumps, ash, dust, famine, death. Things were so bad that hope was nowhere to be seen, which is understandable. And the good news, as I said, are good news when there's a desperate situation and there's danger. And here in chapter 6, verse 13b, is the good news. See the last part of the sentence. The holy seed will be the stump in the land. That's the good news. You almost don't see it. Because that's the good news. The seed of the land. So the holy seed will be the stump in the land. So don't stumble upon the stumps. Keep your eyes on the holy stump. The holy seed is in its stump, and the stump again. Why would God put these things together. Well, now we know, because this is what's going to be. You need a good news related to what you see. So the holy seed, it's going to be the stump. A stump again. What's a stump good for? Not much, I would say. So what's a stump good for? Not much. Chop wood on it. Sit on it when tired. Anything else? You have to keep you at the back when I breathe. What's a stump good for? Cut it some more or route it with the router, and you know that the stump is not good for anything. So we see a bear with the three stumps robbed of his trunk. There's no trunk anymore, no branches, no top, no leaves, no fruit, and it looks like though the stump will never bear any fruit anymore. Let's stop a little bit here. Let's see the implications of the above statement. Because there are some implications. There are things that God wants us to see in those little words, in that collection of words that we have there. If the seed is holy, then the stump must be holy. I think that's the normal way we think, and it is true. If the seed is holy, then the stump also is holy. And now that we reached this point, when we use the word holy, when we think about the word holy, what are we thinking about? Set apart, perfect, pure, holy, purpose. Yeah, well, we are trying to read into it. Holy, pure, right, consecrated, dedicated. So these are the two meanings, two major meanings of the word. Holy is along the pure, righteous and good and so on. And then dedicated, consecrated, set apart for the Lord. These are the two main understanding of the word holy. God covers them both. God, only God covers them both. We indeed are called holy in the New Testament. We understand that we are dedicated, consecrated, and in the process of being or becoming holy as God is holy. But then, so now, the holy seed, who are these people? What is this? So the holy seed is the people of Israel, the chosen ones, the dedicated ones, those stumps that, of course, they went through the same process of destruction, but they are special because they are part of the chosen ones, of the remains, the small group of people that have been chosen. Think about Elijah. Think about his fear. Think about his fear for his life. And think about the fact that he believed at one point that, hey, I am alone. And God tells him, wrong, you are not alone. How many were there? 7,000. 7,000 people were there, just like Elijah, dedicated to the Lord, ready to enter into action. Elijah wasn't alone because God had his chosen people. And Israel is the chosen people. We cannot deny that. And even if these things will happen to Israel, and then the Israel will become like stumps, yet the holy seed is the stump of the land. And this is what Isaiah is saying. Here with the holy stump, let me put my thoughts. So in our context, one holy seed will be the stump. Will be the holy stump. Bear with me just a little bit more. We'll get there. The holy seed, one, is the holy stump. Here, we have another meaning in these words. With the holy stump, in other words, what's left of the holy seed, what's left of the people of Israel, God is saying, this is not the end. So indeed, a stump might not be useful for much, but at times, a stump sprouts and shoots a new branch. and then things are changed. So here with this holy stump that Isaiah was told to preach, was told to tell people about, God is actually saying, hang on, don't despair. This is not the end. Something is coming. Something is coming. Something is coming. And we know that Isaiah, it's very good at describing this. The event that he saw says it's so great that will make people deaf. So great will be. So here with the holy stump, the what's left of the holy seed, God is saying this is not the end. Something is coming up. As we look at the holy stump, we see first a small shoot from the root of this dry stump and then a branch coming up. So I say it again, don't stumble upon the stumps. Keep your eyes on the holy stump. And Isaiah chapter 11 verse 1 reveals it. See, it took me a bit of a time, and I took a convoluted way of explaining it, but here it is. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. This is what a stump is good for. And this what a holy stump is good for. Because from that stump, from what was left, from the remnants of the holy people, the chosen Israel, something will grow up, something will sprout, and things will be different. Theologically, when we think about this fact, about the fact that, well, from the Ruth, from the Jesse, and Jesse we know was the father of David, that's the kingly lineage. Well, a little bit later, Jesse was not yet, but was in the coming. The kingly lineage came Jesus. So theologically, when we think about this holy stump, we see the human roots of our Lord. Okay? We see the human roots of our Lord. And this comes against all those people who deny that our Lord was a human. Well, he was a human. He had these roots in David, in Jesse. And when we read the genealogies in Matthew and in Luke, we can see how those evangelists were, in a sense, careful or constructed their story, their gospel, trying to trace the lineage of our Lord. Indeed, all of them go through David. So that shoot came from the stump of Jesse, came from the lineage of David. The other thing that we see in this holy stump is the incarnation. Because we read in John's gospel, the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh, not just like, God could have done that, but the Word was made flesh coming from this lineage, having this human thread, if we can call it like that. And this is we as Christians preach. And remember, I remind you again, we preach both. Jesus is God and Jesus is human. We affirm both of them. We don't try to mix. We don't try to find a proportion. We just affirm this. And this is what we believe. Jesus, both God and human. And that's incarnation. This stump, this holy stump, gives us one reason or one explanation of the incarnation. And of course, this holy stump approves and helps in the argument that Jesus put forward. He is the son of David. So he is presented in which gospels as the son of David. And indeed, see, the lineage goes back to that holy stump. Now, because I reached here, let me turn this one the other way. Christmas is coming. And we have Christmas because of that holy stump. We can celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus because of that holy stump. We can rejoice over the fact that we are visited by God, because when everything seemed to be lost, everything seemed to be done and dusted, when they seemed to be no hope, gave birth or sprouted a branch and brought hope. It's almost like if you are gardening, some of you are gardening, go to a garden and you put something in the earth there, some seeds, you know. Maybe yes, maybe not. I don't know. Something will happen. And then 2 or 3 weeks, you start to see a little green thing coming up. What's your reaction? Those who are gardeners, what's your reaction? Here it is. Here it comes. It's coming. It's coming. What's going to be, we don't know. But definitely when you see that little thing finding its way through the earth and getting that green color, that's hope. The hope that something will grow up from that little thing that you have planted in. Same with that stump there. You look at it and what's going to happen here? But God, see, well, that's where God comes into the picture. And somehow, interestingly, God always seemed to come into the picture when there is no hope. God somehow seemed to come into the picture where there is disaster around, when there is no one else to help, when there is no shoulder to lean on, when there is no hand to shake. It looks like God majors and delights in being this hope against all hope, to use Paul's expression regarding Abraham, hoping against all hope. God delights to come in our stumped world and bring a little bit of hope.